Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Mark Greeny, who's out with his latest Gray Man novel, Mission Critical. Court Gentry, the former CIA asset who ended up on the agency's kill list as a killer for hire known as the Gray Man, is now working for the government once again. As the book opens, Gentry's on a CIA transport plane when security brings on a fella in a hood, and they're en route to a debriefing in the UK with a joint CIA MI6 team about a mole at Langley. And when the plane lands, the prisoner is kidnapped. Gentry sets about to try to track him down, and concurrently, Gentry's pal Zoya escapes an attack at a CIA house in Virginia. All kinds of excitement going on here. Mark, this whole business that Court Gentry involves himself in, it's complicated. How do you write so it's not too complicated for the readers?
That's a good question. I do find myself needing to dial it back here and there, or adding something else for clarification. And other authors do this too. There's entire characters who are written into the story to kind of help you, to sort of ask questions or whatnot to kind of help the reader understand. It is a complicated story that you can boil down very simply. You know, you have these two different plot lines, Zoya, who is trying to find out about the mystery about the death of her father 12 years earlier, and Court, who is basically just blindly chasing this prisoner. He doesn't know who he is or why they're after him. He just knows that a bunch of people just killed him to get access to him, and he feels it's his duty to try and, you know, to do this for the CIA. And these two stories sort of dovetail, about a third of the way through and fold together. And just as a reader growing up, you know, I've always loved stories with multiple plot lines, and you have no idea how they can possibly relate to one another, and then they do come together. So it's just the kind of book that I like to read.
The opening scene, when you've got the person in the hood on the airplane, was such a great way to open a book. When you come up with that type of idea, is that a complete aha moment for you that, God, this is how I want the book to start?
Yeah, it really is. When you get your opening down, you get really excited because, openings are, there's a lot of things you want to convey. It's not just throw action in at the beginning to make it work. It's you want to build character, and you want to something that kicks the plot off, even if, you know, it's very early stages of the plot. And so when you get it, then you're very, you're excited. You think that momentum is going to carry you on through the 500 pages of the book, but that is not the case. There's always a hard slog in the middle, but when you've got the beginning down, it's very fulfilling.
It seems like every politician and then every telephone poll that they do, people love the whole idea of open government. And Court Gentry, by nature, is part of government that remains secret. So why do you think people are drawn to this type of story, even though when somebody asks them their opinion, they'll say they don't want secrets in government?
Yeah, it's wish fulfillment. So this is, Court is part of a team called Poison Apple, which is completely off the book. And they do assassinations and things for the U.S. And the reality of that is that would be used and abused by the wrong people. But in this type of story, I do spend a lot of time on the realism of CIA. They're good people, but it's a big bureaucracy, and sometimes decisions are made that don't follow the moral code of the hero. So he ends up going against the CIA here and there, but. In the real world, this wouldn't happen as altruistically as Court does it. Things might get dirty. I mean, and there's definitely people out there that we'll never know about, and I think that's safe. That makes us safer. The fact that it's so easily open to abuse, if you have, if some government official has his own team of murderers that could go around the world, it does not sound like a great idea in the real world.
Well, how difficult is it to research this type of thing? Because it's not like there's media reports about it that you can just comb through the pages of the New York Times.
No, I mean, there's a lot of information out in open source, and I do a lot of reading, and I have met people in, intelligence circles and sort of special forces and that sort of thing. So you do learn a lot, but then there's this jumping off point. Nobody's telling me classified information, thank goodness. There's this jumping off point to where you just start speculating and sort of using creativity to come up with things. I've written things that people have reached out to me before and be like, wow, I wish we thought this up. That would be pretty handy. But it's, you get as much open source information as you can, and then you know, if you're a writer, you're supposed to be creative. So I'm like, okay, it's my job to flesh this out and make and sell this to the reader as being legitimate.
I know you've gotten non-classified briefings at the Pentagon over the years. Is that something that any civilian can do, or do you need to be somebody like a Mark Greeney?
That's a good question. I've gone to think tanks up in D.C. where I've sat there and listened to, you know, admirals and generals and intelligence people talk. You know, been at DIA and ODNI, which is the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and gotten these briefings. And that's completely. It was not through. I mean, nobody there knew that I was an author. I wasn't, you know, hiding it. I just was just a guy in the crowd. So there is all sorts of things you can do if you're interested enough. You know, at the Pentagon, I asked for and was given an invitation, and, you know, you go through public affairs and all that sort of stuff. But now I have friends that work there or have worked there, and they can bring me in on their own as well. So it's a bit of a hybrid of those two things.
Are you ever amazed at some of the stuff you hear that they consider non-classified that you think, wow, I can't believe that's not classified?
Yeah, I can. It's funny. Comes to mind. A few years ago, I was out on the West Coast in San Diego with the Fifth Fleet, and I was talking to a guy who was giving me a briefing on anti-submarine warfare. This was for one of the Tom Clancy books I did, and I would ask him a question. A young guy, I would ask him a question, and he would just very nervously look at me, and then he'd pull out his iPhone and like Google it, and he'd be like, "Okay, yeah, this is out. This is an open source." And so he was like going, is this classified? And then, you know, a lot of times I will ask a question and they'll say, okay, we need to stop talking about that and we need to start talking about something else. And that gives me all the indication that I need to know that I've pushed the envelope just a little too far.
And then, of course, that gives you your creative jumping off point, right?
Exactly. Then you're like, okay, I'm onto something and now I'm going to play with it. I'm always tell people, you know, don't worry about me spilling the beans because don't underestimate my ability to get it wrong. Like if you point blank told me something, I'd probably skew it enough in the sort of the fiction writing to where it wouldn't be, you know, classified information. But no, and nobody gives me that stuff. They're very careful and they're a little bit on guard, you know, because they know that things can end up in a book.
You used to write Tom Clancy novels, and those are always really wide in scope. Gray Man novels are more street level. Is this a function of the powers that be not wanting to know what the Gray Man does in the books?
Yeah, it's a different style of story, and I like both. And the Gray Man books have gone wider in scope in recent years after doing the Clancy. But yes, you're exactly right. It's like, you know, we're not going to be up in the Oval Office, you know, as they talk about Court's next mission or whatever, and we're not going to probably be in the Kremlin, but we'll be in some, you know, like dirty back alley with Russian crime guys in London or Moscow or something like that. So it's, as you said, it's a street level view, and then it's a 30,000 foot view, and they're both interesting stories to write, but. You know, for the nature of the Gentry books is you want to be on his shoulder a lot of the time, watching what's going on.
Speaking of the Kremlin, you've previously said that Vladimir Putin is this country's greatest national security threat. Given the vacillating nature of international relations, do you still think that's the case?
I do. I don't think their military is any sort of match for us, but I do think just the sort of psychology and the personal motivations of him. You know, like I worry if he felt like it would help his poll numbers enough to invade Lithuania, then he'll invade Lithuania. Or if he thinks that, you know, like the tens or hundreds of billions of dollars that he's, you know, socketed away were in jeopardy if he lost power, then I do think, you know, he might be open to doing some things that otherwise other nations wouldn't do. Obviously, North Korea is a potential problem. China can be a potential problem. But to me, Russia is the one that's a little bit more, you know, like right teetering on the edge, just my opinion.
Where do you physically write your books?
How do I physically? I get up very early, and I just do that naturally, thank goodness, and I write as long as I can, and then I do other stuff, you know, with the rest of the day, you know, involved with with work. But, you know, I basically just sit there at a laptop and I try and get a word count every day, and as I get closer to deadline, that word count gets more and more because I was lazy early in the early stages, but you know, just like that.
But you're not a coffee shop guy. It's always at home.
I was a coffee shop guy. I would write mostly at Starbucks, but you know, where I live, it's gotten to where enough people know who I am to where there's a lot of distractions. Even if there are people that I'd love to talk to, you know, it's just like if I'm trying to get some work done and somebody wants to sit down and tell me about their idea for a book, that's not gonna. I'm not gonna get my book done. So I mostly stay at home now. I when I'm on the road, I spend a lot of time in coffee shops. So.
All right. Well, the book is Mission Critical. It's the latest Gray Man novel by Mark Greene. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Mark, fantastic book, and thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you, Ryan. Enjoyed it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.